Praise the Lord. How are you? Good? Praise God. Aren't you thankful for a loving God? I'm so thankful for a God who loves us, never fails us, and is always with us. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. Welcome this morning to God's Word for Life. There's a little tagline that goes with that. We don't always use it, but it says God's Word for Life, where we explore what it means to live out God's Word in our life. God's Word is not something that is just meant to stay here in church, but something that we live out every day. And these lessons, the reason we're digging into this is for it to equip us and to help us for our purpose, our divine purpose that He has for us. Amen? We're closing out our spring quarter, wrapping it up. Who have we been studying? Paul. All right. We're off to a great start. Paul. Our series started in Acts chapter 9, where we read about his conversion. And what a conversion that was. I think about that lesson, and the thing for me that stood out the most and still stands out the most is how important it is that we're not just consuming information and knowledge about God, but that we are connecting with His Spirit so that we have revelation. Paul was a man who thought he knew. He thought he knew God's mission. And in the process of that, he did some pretty evil things. And God really got a hold of him and gave him revelation and saved him from his ways. Aren't you thankful for a God who doesn't give up? Amen. God is willing to use anybody who's willing to listen and obey, and He will change us. In lesson 2, Paul and Silas were beaten and imprisoned for preaching the gospel, but we saw their response, and their response was one of prayer and praise. Sometimes things happen in life that just don't feel fair, and we get to choose. Will we respond in prayer? Will we respond by turning to Him and praising Him? We get to choose. And we saw with Paul and Silas what happened when they chose. The miraculous earthquake that freed them. They didn't take off running, but they stayed there. And because they stayed there, they were able to minister and save the jailer. Praise God. Whatever God's plan is, He will fulfill it. Just might not be in the way that we think that it should happen. And even when it doesn't make sense, we can trust that He will come through with a greater purpose. And last week in lesson 3, Paul was falsely accused and stood before Felix, Festus, and Agrippa. The thing about Paul that always amazes me is that he always kept his eye on what he knew that God had called him to do. He knew his purpose. He knew that no matter what happens, I must get them to Jesus. I must share the gospel. That was his mission, and he was convinced that that was what he would do, and he shows us time and time again, imprisonment, false accusations, all of these things. And what was he most concerned about? He wasn't concerned about being set free from his prison. He was concerned about getting the message of Christ to those in authority. So he shows us that a life surrendered to Christ can powerfully witness to others, even when things are uncertain, and even when things are difficult. And today we're going to wrap up this series with our final lesson coming from Acts chapter 27 and into chapter 28. A storm and a snake. A storm and a snake. Acts chapter 27 verses 23 through 25 are key verses for this lesson this morning. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as He told me." The truth is that God will sustain us because of His plan. We have to choose if we will trust. 19th century Prussian Field Marshal Helmuth von Moltke, the elder, wrote, "No plan of operations extends with certainty beyond the first encounter with the enemy's main strength." Or in the words of some guy named Mike Tyson, who said it a little less eloquently, "Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth." Or punched in the gut. Over the years, This observation has been shortened to no plan survives first contact with the enemy. The history of warfare has repeatedly confirmed this to us. The Normandy invasion during World War II was one of the largest and most extensively planned military operations in history. It was overseen by some of the world's most brilliant strategists, including Dwight Eisenhower. But despite months of planning, the invasion encountered problem after problem after problem from the very beginning. The attack was originally planned for May of 1944, but got pushed back a month due to lack of landing craft. In June, the weather failed to cooperate. Allied troops were scheduled to make their historic landing on the beaches of Normandy, France, on June 5th. But again, Eisenhower was forced to delay by another 24 hours. When the attack finally began shortly after midnight of June 6th, cloud cover hindered visibility. And as a result, the bombardment of German positions by Allied aircraft did not cause as much damage as they had hoped, which meant that troops landing on the beaches faced stronger than expected resistance. And to complicate matters, some of the landing aircraft were blown off course. Partly because of these unexpected setbacks, the Allies suffered approximately 10,000 casualties on the first day of the attack, while failing to achieve their plans. By late June, the Allies had overcome these initial setbacks, and they did go on to achieve their objective. You may not be planning anything as complicated as an invasion of Europe, but even simple plans can be frustrated by unexpected setbacks. And maybe the failure of others to cooperate. Perhaps this describes you right now. You had life planned out, but now you're laying on the canvas, flattened by the unexpected. Maybe it's a struggling marriage. Maybe it's a diagnosis that caught you off guard. Maybe your company is downsizing, or maybe you lost someone you loved, an unexpected death. King Solomon observed in Proverbs 16:9 that we can make our plans, but it's the Lord who determines our steps. We need to trust him and follow his plan wherever that leads us. We can trust that his plans are better than our plans, even when it doesn't feel like it. Acts 27 opens with the words, "And when it was determined." You see, at this point, Paul was there and he was under guard once again by the Roman soldiers. He was traveling by ship and headed to trial in Rome. Not much in life is as structured as the military or sailing. Soldiers follow strict orders and ships stick to planned routes and timetables. It looked like Paul's path was pretty much set. He was heading to Rome. He was hoping to get the chance to witness to Caesar. He wasn't going there seeking his own freedom, but he was looking for an opportunity to once again share the gospel. The New Testament hints, as we read through the pages, of a man who saw a lot of value in planning and organization. He was responsible for overseeing many churches and ministers throughout many cities. And this would have taken some degree of coordination. He wrote letters that we now read that he wrote to other churches. We know that he was determined to stick to his plan because several times he was warned, "If you go there, this will happen. If you go there, I see trouble. If you go there, it might not turn out the way you want." But he was convinced of what God had called him to do, that he said, "No matter what, I'm going. I will go. I'm not ready to just be bound. I'm not ready to just be hindered, but also I'm willing to die for Jesus." He was so committed to the cause of what Christ called him to that no matter the struggle, no matter the trouble, no matter the pain that would come, he knew that God would help him to fulfill what God desired to do. Neither the soldiers or the sailors who accompanied Paul and his companions anticipated that their carefully crafted schedules were about to be completely blown off course. Storm clouds were gathering, and the storm would shape the events in ways that none of them would anticipate. You see, Paul was an experienced traveler who spent a lot of time on the ships, and no doubt he picked up and acquired some knowledge of sailing from these previous voyages. 2 Corinthians tells us that he had not been just shipwrecked once or twice, but three times. There's some debate on whether or not here in Acts 27:28, there's a possibility this could have been his fourth shipwreck. Sometimes we go through things in life and we feel like it's a shipwreck. And we're like, you know what, if I can just get past this, it's going to be smooth sailing from here. And then another shipwreck. And we just barely get our bearings back and we get back up and it's another shipwreck. Paul shows us the commitment required, the work required to follow through. The enemy will tell us that it shouldn't be this way. It should be easy. There should be nothing but blessings from God. But that's not really true. While God does bless us and he does equip us, the storms of life will come. The storms of life will blow. But you can trust that God is in control and that he is with you. Paul tries to tell them it's not a good idea. Your plans are not good plans. He noticed the stormy weather that was brewing, and he gave them a heads up. Maybe they dismissed him because they thought, nope, this is just a prisoner who's trying to plan an escape. And they dismissed him. Acts 27:10 says, "Sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and with much damage." There's going to be loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but of lives. The ship's captain ignored Paul. He ignored his advice, and they decided, "We're going because we think it appears favorable." It appeared favorable. Sometimes we're looking for the easy route because it looks favorable. We're not interested in the hard. God, just get us there, get us through the shortcut. But I've gone through enough hard in my life to realize that it is in those valleys and in those moments where we can meet God in ways that we would never find him, where he can speak to us in ways that we listen in a whole new way. It's not that he hasn't been talking, it's that we haven't been listening. And sometimes it takes moments of desperation, moments of shipwreck, to get our attention. So here they are, and they go out. And it says in Acts 27, verses 18, it says, "When the south wind blew softly, they set off. It appeared like everything was going to be okay. They hoped that they would port in Crete and spend the winter there. But then all of a sudden, smooth sailing, the calm winds mushroomed into a fierce storm. The ship and its passengers were exceedingly tossed in the tempest, and all hope that they had was taken away. The sailors began to try desperately to save themselves, everything they could to lighten the ship. They threw it overboard. They got rid of it. Everything they could do, they were trying. They were trying to save the ship, to save their lives. Amid the chaos, God sent an unexpected visitor who boarded the ship with a message just for Paul. It's amazing to me how God will speak to us as individuals when we will align ourselves with his plan and his purpose. And he will come alongside us as an individual in the midst of a storm and in the midst of chaos, and he will say, "I have a plan. I have a purpose." And he will give us hope, and he will give us the promise that says, "It's going to be okay." The angel said, "Fear not. Thou must be brought before Caesar. My plan is still active, Paul. The storm is brewing. Things are looking bad, but don't be afraid. You're going to do what I called you to do. You're going to stand before Caesar. And that was enough to bring confidence into Paul in that situation. He was reassured that despite the circumstances and despite the storm that was brewing around him, God was going to get him there. Everything was proceeding according to God's plan. Not man's plan, but to God's plan. Paul gathered them all together so he could share the message with him. You can read about all of this in detail in Acts chapter 27 and into about verse 5 or 6 of chapter 28. But when I read it, I always giggle at the part where he's pretty much like, I told you so. I told you this was going to happen. You didn't listen to me. How many times does someone speak to us and tell us, you might not want to go that way. You might not want to do that. But he didn't just leave it there. He talks to them in verse 21. He says, be of good cheer. Maybe it's not verse 21. But in the chapter, he says, be of good cheer. Like, the storm is brewing. Things are looking pretty crazy right now. Be of good cheer. Basically, be of good cheer is saying, be positive. Stay positive. No one's going to lose their life. I've been reassured. Everything is going to be okay. I don't think anybody felt like everything was going to be okay on that ship. It was pretty crazy, the weather. I don't like to go on ships because I don't like to be seasick. I get motion sickness just on swings. Ships are not my thing, so I can only imagine in these crashing waves how these people were feeling. Stay positive. I have a voice from the Lord that's been delivered directly to me. I have a message from the Lord that's been delivered. Stay positive. There is tremendous value in surrounding ourselves with people who are hearing from God. We should all personally be hearing from Him on a personal level, but there are times in our life when the waves are crashing, when the storm is brewing, and we have to have somebody who's standing in the gap for us, and it needs to be a voice from God that says, stay positive. My plan is still active. In times of uncertainty and fear, our world needs to hear from people who are hearing from God. We need to be a voice that speaks for God, not an echo of the people around us. Hear His voice, know His voice, share His voice. He's the one who comforts us in all of our tribulation. He's the one who is with us in all of our troubles, in all of our struggles. He's the one who keeps us constant. You see, we look at trials, and sometimes we can go right into despair when we go off course, when that wasn't written in the script, and it happens, life happens, and it throws us into a tailspin. And we have a choice, either to fall into despair, or we can say, Lord, this test, this trial, this tragedy can be an opportunity for ministry. You look at Paul, and consistently the message that he shows us is that his life was about ministry. He was constantly wanting to bring the message, the hope of Jesus, the hope that he found. He wanted other people to find it. And no matter what, if he was in prison, he wanted them to find it. No matter where he was, he wanted them to find it. In the midst of the storm, he wanted them to know, who's the one that brings peace? Who's the one that brings life? He wanted everyone to know. And maybe like Paul, we can learn that in the midst of storms, we can stand strong. We can share hope with other people around us. In our weakness, his strength is made perfect. Because in our weakness, we can step aside and say, Lord, what is it that you want to do? Despite Paul's words of reassurance to everybody, the storm still raged. And he told them, we must go aground to a certain island. The danger was far from over. Basically, he's saying, we need to park the ship. But he knew there was danger that was coming in parking the ship. He knew that they would be vulnerable to the pounding waves and that eventually that ship might break apart. But his hope wasn't in the ship. His hope was in the promise that God gave him. We got to be careful where we place our hope. Oftentimes, we're looking for our security. We're looking for what we know, what brings us comfort. And then life might just shatter that ship. Paul trusted God's plan, and he trusted his promise would prevail over everything in that situation. I think about this story, and I'm just like, okay, God, how many times do we pray something, and we say, Lord, I saw you do it now, but he doesn't do it. God could have said, hey, Paul, just rebuke the storm, and it'll be okay. It'll stop. The storm will stop raging. Everything will be fine. Peace will come. We saw him do it repeatedly in the Gospels. But I've come to realize that sometimes it's about God wanting us to endure the storm with him. No doubt those people would have preferred to be rescued. They would have preferred not to have to face the danger. But that was not God's plan. His plan was they ride out the storm. Confidence placed in God. Confidence that says, God will keep me safe. No matter what happens, my confidence is not in me. My confidence is not in my plans. My confidence is not in you. My confidence is in Christ. And when we can gain that kind of confidence, no matter what happens, no matter what blows apart in our life, we can stand strong in the storm, knowing that Jesus will keep us safe. So many of us really want the quick fix. We want the instant answer. My husband and I had a conversation a couple weeks ago over morning devotions, and he was talking about the difference of a microwave meal versus a slow-cooked meal. And one of the things that he pointed out is that sometimes we'll put it in the microwave because we're in a hurry, but then we get all those little hot spots where we get burned in the process, and then you get the really cold spots. But if we really want to enjoy it, it needs to be slow-cooked. I don't like slow-cooked answers. I prefer the immediate answer. I prefer the immediate rescue. I prefer the immediate cease of rage in the storm, but sometimes it's just the voice that speaks into your heart and says, I know it's stormy, Jess. I know it's hard, but I'm here. I'm here, and I'm going to help you through it. But the only way that happens is when we trust God. We trust his plan. That's how we make it. We're going to get knocked around a little bit. We need to expect it. The truth of the matter is that when you truly yield your life to Jesus, you have to plan to have a plan for the unexpected plan. Meaning you have to just keep your hands open to say, God, I didn't think that I would live through this. I didn't think my family would have to go through this. I didn't think that my friends would have to walk through that. This is not a story that should be my story that I tell. But if we'll open our hands and say, God, what is it in this storm that you're trying to develop in me? Oftentimes we want the why. Why did this happen? It's not fair. It doesn't fit my narrative. And he's saying, hey, I'm in control. I have a plan. I have a purpose. It might not be the quick fix, but he's doing something deeper. He's doing something greater that will help you to withstand storms. And not just withstand them, but to help others. To help others. You ever notice in times of insecurity or when someone feels threatened, a lot of times the instinct for survival kicks in and you're just going to take care of yourself. Every person for themselves becomes the default mindset, and that's what began to happen on this ship. It looked like they were going to smash into the rocks. And some of the crew even tried to sneak off in a lifeboat. And Paul caught them and he said, wait a minute, you can't go. You can't go. Everyone has to stay together or nobody will survive. You have to stay together. The crew was focused on saving themselves, but Paul was thinking about everyone else's well-being. While on the ship, they didn't eat for 2 weeks, and he began to encourage them and say, hey, listen, you need to eat. Sometimes the advice that people give us is just simple advice. I think I've shared it before. The best advice that I've gotten sometimes when I'm in a tailspin is, Jess, go take a nap and have a snack. You're going to be okay. You're just a little hangry and a little tired because we're human. And here's Paul, and he's saying, hey, listen, I told you it's going to be okay. But their confidence wasn't placed the same place that Paul's confidence was placed. And they were struggling on that ship. And he's saying, listen, it's going to be okay. And he didn't just say it. He sat down and said, I'm going to eat. And by watching him and seeing him, they followed suit. They did the same thing. And he said to them in Acts 27:34, not a single hair from your head will be lost. It's going to be okay. He prayed, he gave thanks, they ate together. They were all encouraged, Luke says, and they ate some food for themselves. And it still wasn't over. Just as he said, the ship hit a sandbar and started breaking apart in the pounding waves. Some of the soldiers were worried. If these prisoners got away, it would be their life that they would have to pay. That was the military law that they lived under. So they were planning to kill the prisoners. This wasn't just like a couple prisoners. There was, I think the Bible says, 276 people on that ship. I don't know if we'll have 276 people in here this morning when we all come together, but that's how many people that were here. So you can imagine the chaos that was there. So they're like, you know what? We're just going to start taking out these prisoners, because if we don't bring them back, it's going to be our head that they have. And Paul was like, no, no. He remained calm and he remained confident. He said, don't do it. The centurion who was guarding him, who was responsible for delivering him, had been observing him. In the very beginning, he didn't listen to the warning that Paul had, but here we read later in the story that the centurion recognized something different in Paul. That in the midst of the storm and in the midst of the chaos, there was a calmness and a confidence that rose that demonstrated to the centurion that there was a greater hope. And basically he was like, whatever this guy says, we just have to do. Let's just listen and do. And thanks to that testimony that rose up out of that, every prisoner's life was saved. The truth of the matter is, we don't always get to see the immediate rewards for staying faithful. But trusting God is never wasted. Never. Our response in hard times can impact more people than just ourselves. It can influence everyone around us. Crisis moments can open some of the biggest doors for ministry. Because of Paul's faith, 276 people on that ship made it out alive. I just have to believe that they never forgot that storm, and they never forgot that guy named Paul. And they never forgot the God that he placed his confidence in. His steady trust in God turned into a very powerful testimony. Instead of despair, his confidence was placed in the one who could bring them through it all. I wish that we didn't have to go through hard things. I wish that it could be easy sailing. But how would we grow? We think of our children. If we gave them everything we want, they typically turn into something we call brats. We can't always get what we want. Even as adults. Acts 27:44 opens up again with the beginning of a happy ending. It says, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. The storm's over. Everything's going to be okay. But that was not the end. Just 3 verses later, disaster strikes again in the form of a venomous viper. Paul was on the island and back to serving. It's interesting to see him. He goes about gathering sticks, and there's a whole other lesson in this that we won't go into today. But he was busy gathering sticks because he wanted to feed the fire so that the others would be warmed. He was busy going about the tasks of serving, of ministry. When the heat of the flame caused a snake to jump out and lock on to Paul. Surviving the shipwreck only to be bitten by a venomous snake. To be bit by a snake. Can you imagine? You come through the raging storm, the ship blows apart, everybody lives, you've made it here, okay, it's going to be okay. I'm going to help people, we're going to get them warmed up by the fire, everything's going to be okay, and then he gets bit. And everybody watches. They watch. And then they start judging. He must be a murderer. He's going to get what's due to him. That was their thought. And then they waited. They waited because they expected that he would fall over dead. But he didn't. What did he do? He shook off the snake. The snake bit him. He felt the pain of the bite, but he shook it off. Because once again, his confidence was in God and his mission was not yet complete. He knew. And he shook off the snake, and everybody still watched and waited for him to drop dead. But once again, God had a plan. And not only did Paul shake off that snake, he was unharmed. And God used him. He went from somebody that they were pointing fingers at and accusing to all of a sudden, he must be a god. He must be amazing because he didn't die from that bite. But he instantly corrected them and said, no, it's not me, but it's the God that I serve. It's the one who leads me. He's the one that helps me. And what seemed to be another disaster turned into an opportunity of ministry on that island. And he was able to minister for some time there where God moved. We get to choose when the shipwrecks of life come or when the snake bites. We get to choose how we'll respond. We get to choose where we place our confidence. We get to choose if we're going to wallow in despair or we get to call on God. Paul never, never lost trust that God was in control. Most of us would skip all the shipwrecks and we'd skip the snake bites, but Paul understood it was part of the journey. It was part of the journey. When we let God lead, we have to be ready for the unexpected. But we must always be confident that no matter what, he will work it out for good. Even when it's painful, even when it's hard, he will do good with it. The enemy will try to use it to stop you. He will try to use it to discourage you. He will try to use it to pull you off of your mission. But God says, no, I can work with that. I can work with that. I can heal you. I can bring hope. I can do a deeper work. Only God can take something so disastrous and do something so miraculous in it. When Paul left that island, they didn't just walk away with respect and supplies. Every one of them left with a stronger faith. Stronger faith. And that's my prayer this morning, that when the shipwrecks of life come and the snake bites, that our faith would be strengthened and not stolen. Because God is with us no matter what we face, even when it's unexpected and even when it's hard. He's here, and he is able. He's able to bring us through in ways that we just can't see. And sometimes the storm clouds are there, but he's there. He's stronger and he's greater. Stand with me this morning. Sometimes God allows storms to blow into our lives, not to sweep us off course, but to push us in the direction of what he has planned. When storms come, we must look to God and we must submit to his plan. We must submit to his purpose. We must open our hands and say, Lord, what are you after? Who are you after? And sometimes the very first person he's after is us. He desires to do a great work in us. But sometimes there's some hard things. There's some hard things. But like Pastor Peter tells his kids, we can do hard things. We can do hard things because God is with us. And he's not just with us, he's in us when he fills us with his spirit. He's in us. No matter where we are, no matter how much the storm is raging, he's with us. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for your presence that is here this morning. I thank you that you are a God who is with us on the sunny days, and you're a God who's with us on the stormy days. God, I know that most of us here would choose to avoid storms. We would choose to avoid the snake bites of life, the pain, the fear, the unexpected trials. But just like Paul, we're learning that sometimes these moments are just a part of the journey. You've designed us to help us to trust you and to find you. Even when it's hard, God, help us to see that you are in control and that you are working all things together for good. God, I pray this morning that when things hurt us and when life throws things at us that we didn't see coming, God, that you would help us not to blow off course, but that you would help us to find you in ways that we have never seen you. God, in the valleys and in some of the hard things, that's the only way we can see you and hear you in ways that we never have. God, give us faith. Give us faith to shake off the fear. Give us faith to pray with boldness. And give us faith to walk in confidence, knowing that you are with us and that you are working all things together for good. And no matter what comes, no matter what storm blows our way, you are with us. We thank you, God, that you are a God who saves, that you are a God who heals, and you're a God who gives us hope. And Father, I pray this morning that when each one of us that are here, that you would just minister, that your spirit would minister, and God, that you would help us to open our hands and to give you our plans and to say, Lord, do what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.